The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Alrighty, back to work after the long Thanksgiving weekend. I'm ready to go, y'all. Glad to be back. Hope you had a good time. I went to the Saints game yesterday for the first time in a while. Mike Dettillier joins us now, WWL NFL analyst, co-host of Sports Talk, sat in the front row with Bob Huecker. And it's amazing how you can see everything and you can see nothing. One thing I was able to see, first of all, good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine, Tommy. Thank you.
One thing I was able to see at that level is the physicality of the game and how the Rams did out-physical the Saints. And you could, you know, I was right behind a Rams bench, and the Rams offensive line was having a pretty good time on the sideline and having a good day of it. So your thoughts on, I guess, that? We'll pick it up there.
That, to me, was the thing that jumped out the most, that the Saints got out beat up front, so to speak, and on both sides of the football. You look on defense, Jared Verse, their defensive end, first-round pick from Florida State, he was in the backfield as much as Alvin Kamara was.
As number
I mean,
eight.
Every play.
Yeah.
He was a menace there. Trevor Penning had a tough day. And then at the end, what it came down to, you know, was Verse. You know, he beat Foster Moreau off the edge and was able to get a hand and kind of tip the ball away from Derek Carr. But I just thought you lost it up front, Tommy. Rams were able to run the football over 150 yards rushing it 29 times in the game. They ran it more than they threw it. That was a surprise, because I thought it would be more of a Stafford day in trying to get pressure on him and trying to eliminate the big plays downfield. I thought in the first half they were able to do that. But they kind of took a look and say, you know what, hey, let's slow this game down, run the football, and they did it with Kyren Williams and Blake Corum.
You know, we were talking about halftime adjustments and how do you really have time to make an adjustment at halftime by the time everybody gets situated. But if you look at the time of possession, it was kind of weird because the Saints held the ball 14 minutes in the first quarter and came away with, what, 3 points, right?
Came away with 3 points, and you had opportunities. And every time you got kind of close, you know, it was something. It was penalties. Something broke down, and you had an opportunity in the first half to put up some points. You dominated the Rams in the first half. But, you know, when you don't score touchdowns and you got to come away with field goals or field goal attempts, you're not going to win a lot in this league.
Nope. Then you look at the second quarter. Rams had it 10 minutes. Saints had it 4. Third quarter, Rams had it 11 minutes. Rams had it almost 12 minutes. Saints had it 3. And then the fourth quarter, Saints had it about 11. The Rams had it about 4. So it was really a kind of odd game in terms of possession. But chunk plays hurt the Saints yesterday, too. I don't know why you don't kick the ball out of the end zone. I don't understand that. Do you?
I don't get it either, but, you know, that was one drive. I mean, it was like five plays, boom, it was over with, you know. And once they got rolling, you could tell this might be a long day for the Saints. But, again, you had an opportunity late. You could not take advantage of early, shots to get into the end zone. Come down to one play at the end, and they sort of surprised them. The Rams have played a lot of man coverage, And then they switched to the zone coverage concept on that final play. And you could see Derek Carr was looking for progressions downfield. He got to the third one, but it was just too much time there. And Verse, he's going to beat Foster Moreau 9 chances out of 10 coming off the edge like that.
When you look at the Saints receiving core as it is, when you got to kind of look up to see who these guys are, this team needs a lot of help at a lot of positions, it would seem like. Thoughts?
No question about it. Tommy, this ain't just a little bit of a, fix this and fix that. You got a lot of holes on this football team. And this all comes back to you haven't drafted well. And you had an opportunity with some early round picks to solidify some of those spots, and those guys aren't coming through for you. You got Isaiah Foskey, for example, second round pick. He plays on special teams. Mm-hmm. He was your second round pick. And that's what's happening here. It's the same thing across the defensive line board. Where are you getting beat today? They've littered with early round picks, and your best player is Carl Granderson, who's a undrafted free agent.
I'm thinking of the receiving core, and I'm thinking, well, would you really want to go into the season, no disrespect, with Marquez Valdez-Scantling, with Mason Tipton, Cedric Wilson Jr.? I don't even know who this other guy is.
Kevin Austin.
Kevin Austin, yeah. Where'd he come from?
Kevin is a former Notre Dame player. He'd been in a camp. Then he went to the UFL, and they signed him sort of late in the process. And he makes the roster. So that goes to show you didn't accumulate a lot of wide receiver talent in the offseason at all. MVS has really been something because you watch him play, and I saw him from college into the pros and, Green Bay, Kansas City, Buffalo. He's the same guy other than when he's with the Saints. He's a big, tall, fast receiver. He dropped, for every great catch, he dropped one. Mm-hmm. With the Saints, he's been sure-handed. And, he's a guy that, as a complimentary receiver, you'd love to have him. But you can't make him your one or two. He's got to be a complimentary guy. And right now, because of the injuries to Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, he's now thrust into a much bigger role than I think you would have imagined had you picked him up earlier in the year.
We'll take a break, come back, talk about Taysom Hill. I was saying the young lady on the sideline, Megan Olivi, Tim tells me is her name, was very nice and even turned the monitor around for me to see what happened to Taysom Hill. That did not look good at all, and she told me that Fox chose not to show it because it was too gruesome, but I did get to see it on the monitor, and it did not look good at all. Sal Tavares went down. The way they got the cart out so quick, I got to believe that's a somewhat serious injury. So we'll look ahead to the rest of the season. You got any questions and comments, 504-260-1870. I guess, I know Darren Rizzi said that they can still win the division, and I guess they can, but, boy, yesterday you had a chance to pick up some ground with the Falcons losing, right? And you didn't. So we'll take a break, pick it up. We come back, 621 traffic now, WWL. 6:25, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Mike Dettillier. You heard he'll be second-guessing tonight at the Silver Slipper on the beach, Hancock County, Mississippi. Head out there, have some fun with them. Mike, one other thing, I had a question about a Saints receiver. Pettis, who is that?
Yeah, he was a second-round pick. I scouted him coming out of University of Washington. Mm-hmm. And San Francisco picked him in round two. Wood jumped out. He was fast. He was a tremendous punt returner. University of Washington, good receiver. He just never developed with them. He kind of bounced around the NFL, but there was some familiarity with him because of Clint Kubiak, who knew about him, mm-hmm. and they were able to bring him in. And again, he's a speed, quickness guy. He can help you in the return game. He just never really pieced it together at the NFL level as a route runner. He sort of cuts them off a little bit short. you say, oh, the quarterback looks bad. No, it's him. Sometimes he runs a 10-yard route 8 yards, or sometimes he runs 113. So he has to get better in that part, either that or he'll be unemployed like he was before the Saints signed him. But he's a tremendous athlete.
So I guess what I'm saying, and I was sitting there yesterday, kind of not, I didn't scream a lot, y'all don't get mad at me, but I was just kind of analytically watching the game, and I'm thinking, well, you know, I know injuries, everybody's got injuries, but you look at who's, and I didn't even know who half of these guys were. I'm asking you about the receivers, so it's hardly the people that you had, no disrespect at all. Man, they had some weasel behind me from Los Angeles. I don't think this kid's ever done a push-up in his life, Mike. Calling NFL players out and crapping all over NFL players. And this kid, I don't think, and talking about it, whining about his fantasy league and everything else. And, man, you talk about just, you know what I'm saying? Just great on your nerves, just calling NFL players out and their athletic ability and everything. And I was like, Junior, have you ever even tried to do a chin-up in your life? Ever? Have you ever tried to do that? I know you're captain.
Welcome.
Huh?
Welcome to my world, Tommy. Welcome to my world.
I know you run your fantasy league and everything else, but who the hell are you to call an NFL player garbage? Honestly, really, who are you? Anyway, so I'm looking at the receivers, and I'm trying to figure out who these guys are, and then it takes me back to injuries with Rashid Shaheed being hurt, Chris Olave being hurt. And then you go to the running back room, and Alvin Kamara, God bless his heart, man, that man is just, and one point even, you know, somebody put a hit on him when he was going down, and it was, you know, acting all tough, so Alvin kind of shrugged up at him, and Alvin's playing his rear end off. This guy couldn't play any harder than he's playing. But besides him and Taysom Hill, and now Taysom Hill's injured, who's in that running back room? Jamal Williams, I don't know, is he in witness protection? What's going on with him? And Kendre Miller, I couldn't even remember where he came from. Was it TCU? It's been so long.
Yeah, he was a third-round pick from TCU, and he's eligible to come back from that four-week IR, so you'll have him. But, yeah, Tommy, it looks bad for Taysom Hill. Yeah, just watching that and seeing how he went down, and immediately you saw people kind of peeling off that pile.
Yep.
They knew it was serious.
And they were hearing something, and I presume he was yelling.
And, you know, when you see that, you know it's not good.
And the same thing.
You know, it's not good at all.
Saldivari, too. They brought the card out very quickly for him, too.
Yeah, you hate to see it. You know, he's a guy that gives you everything he's got on every play. But, you know, the one thing God didn't give him was longevity to last in this game. He plays so hard, and he's a lot of times reckless with his body. And that leads to you getting hurt. And it happened to him in college. It's happened to him in the pros. He's had a number of injuries. He had told me the story in the 5 years he was at BYU. He had serious injuries, 3 of the 5. And one of the years he kind of missed a bit and piece of the season with an injury he fought through. So you see him go down, and you know how much he means to this football team. And he's an inspirational guy because I think, you know, you see what he can do, and I think it kind of inspires everybody else, too. See him go down like that, man, just pulls at you.
And
really,
really does. I was talking about 41 playing as hard as he could, 7 plays as hard as he can as well, both of them. And we're talking about Alvin Kamara and his age before, remember, with signing and all of that stuff. He's 29. Taysom Hill's 34 years old.
That's true.
All right, we'll take a break. Pick it up when we come back. Mike Dettelier. Right now, time for WWL First News. 6:44, 16 till 7. Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Mike Dettelier, WWL NFL analyst, co-host of Sports Talk. I was at the Saints game yesterday and left disappointed, just like a lot of people did. And look, let me tell you something. I'm a big Saints fan. I was tearing down posters yesterday that people had put up, little pieces of paper saying wanted Mickey Loomis for this, and I was tearing them down because we don't need all that. I don't think that's going to accomplish anything. I was looking at it more of a standpoint of, okay, let's look at what problems we have and how do you address them. So let's go back to running back. You got Alvin Kamara plays hard as you know what, but he's 29. You got Taysom Hill is 34. Who knows? God help him. Let's hope the injury's not career-ending or anything like that. But still, he's could be 35. Behind them, you got Jamal Williams, who's shown nothing. You got Kendre Miller, who can't get on the field, what happens with the running back situation next year, Mike?
Better go get you a couple young ones. That's all I can tell you. If you're going to run an offense, and this is the most perplexing thing entering the season, with Clint Kubiak and his history and how they run this offense, you needed kind of in bulk offensive linemen and running backs because they're going to have some wear and tear. They really built on running the football first, and it sets up the pass. And where are you short today? Running back and offensive line. The wide receiver position got wiped out, so to speak, because of injuries. The offensive line was the biggest question mark going into the season like it was the year before. And you sort of just put a little piece in place using a first-round pick on Fuaga, and that was it. Come on. If you're going to run this type of offense, you got to understand where you have to get volume. And that's at those two spots, offensive line and that running back, because they're going to take a pounding in that type of offense. You weren't prepared for it.
I'm trying to go back to who the starting five was supposed to be. It's Trevor Penning, Cesar Ruiz, Eric McCoy. Was it Patrick at left guard? That's how we went into the season or not?
Yeah, I think they really wanted Sal Devery to be the guy, and he gets hurt real early in training camp, and you don't see him again. So then it became Lucas Patrick.
And then he got hurt again. Sal Devery did yesterday.
But your main piece in the middle is not there. I think you saw it yesterday at critical times that Shane Lemieux, he's bounced around because of injuries. He can't stay healthy. He has, for the most part, been fairly healthy here. He's never played center before. Mm-hmm. Never. He's been a guard his entire career. Not having McCoy, people don't get what that center does and how he controls every aspect. Watch LSU play today. Why they don't have a running game? Look at the center and the guard. You playing a redshirt freshman in DJ Chester at center and an 18-year-old true freshman at guard. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's where all the leakage is coming from. And so you've got your two tackles trying to help the guard out and trying to help the guy alongside of him, and it sort of makes him look bad. Center, man, it's a difficult position to play, and when you got one as good as McCoy, having him in the lineup and not having him there makes a big difference. Look what happened first 2 weeks with him there. He goes down the Philly game. The offense has never run the same. He comes back against Cleveland, plays really well, and kind of tweaks that groin again. You didn't have him yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about defensive line because, again, I was right behind the Rams bench, and you could see that they were all smiles and grins, the Rams offensive line was, because they were kind of having their way with the Saints defensive line. Thoughts?
That's true, and the Rams aren't noted for having a good offensive line.
That's the other thing.
They've had 52 pickup along there. I think this is the ninth different starting combination along the offensive line.
Because that's all I heard last week. All I heard last week was the Rams' offensive line is terrible. But it didn't look terrible yesterday.
No, and they've run through one player after another. But it didn't really matter yesterday. They got after the Saints, and they physically beat them up front. Kyron Williams, Blake Corum, they good backs. But yesterday, man, they looked like all-world running backs. The Saints have got issues, have had it the last couple years, being able to stop the run right up the middle. And you can see on the sidelines, you know, Colin Saunders and all, they talking to the linebackers as though there was some confusion on exactly what set they were trying to get into. The Rams took full advantage of it. They don't care, you know, if you got injuries. You know, they got injuries too. Their deal is stop it. I give Sean McVay a lot of credit. You win a Super Bowl there with a really good football team, and then you got to dismantle it because of the salary cap, everything else, and then you lose Aaron Donald. was one of the greatest defensive players I've ever seen in the NFL, and yet he still is able to win. You got to give him a lot of credit along with his staff. They do a fantastic job squeezing every bit of the vitamin C out of the orange. Sean McVay does it. Like him or not, he's one hell of a coach in this game.
And the timeout at the end of the first half was apparently, and Darren Rizzi said this after the game, I think they had to burn two timeouts because they only had 10 people on a field for offense, which, you know, first of
okay,
all.
The focus is not there then.
Yeah.
Okay, if you're confused on if you should be in there or not, that's on the player. You can say, well, the coaches messed that up. No, the player got to know what he's assigned to do. You got to be smart enough to understand this is when you're in the lineup. And there was a lot of confusion toward the end.
If people are wondering why they burned the timeout there, that's why they did, because they only had 10 people on the field. But then again, you know, this deal where Taysom Hill, and God bless him, I hope he's okay, but when he plays quarterback, if you could put Derek Carr in motion, you may as well play with 10 men. I don't know why they do that. Why wouldn't you put an extra tight end in the game? Because you're not going to throw it to him. Everybody knows that, right? I guess Derek Carr takes a guy out there with him, so it neutralizes it.
Yeah, you pull one guy away from the box.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the times with Taysom, when he's in there running, you know where he's going.
Right.
And you sort of know kind of where that play's going to end up. Man, it's just his sure will to get through, and he makes plays. And so the one thing about once you flank him out, that you got to have a defensive back ride with you. It sort of softens the box a little bit. But Taysom makes his own holes. And like I said, I hated to see, because once you saw people peel off that pile quickly, you knew that was a major injury.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back, talk a little LSU with Mike Dettelier, and then we'll talk more LSU with Jeff Palermo in the following hour. 6:52, 8 until 8. Traffic now, WWL. 8 until 7. All right, 6:58, couple minutes left with Mike Dettelier. Mike, they go to New York to take on the Giants. You got 5 games left. A lot of the losing streak, I think, had to do with Taysom Hill not being available. If he's not available for the rest of the season, you got Alvin Kamara, and behind him, what? That's what I'm looking at.
I think if he can stay healthy, you're going to see a lot of Kendra Miller. I don't know if he can stay healthy, but that's the guy they want to take a look at to see if he's the man for the future for them in a rotation. All this stuff about tanking and everything else, you're fighting for your career.
Absolutely.
Here. You got to understand that, you know, don't play hard. That's what they're paying me for.
Mm-hmm.
Tank. I never got that, because can I go to your workplace and say, don't do nothing, don't worry about it. The boss isn't going to pay attention to that. Yeah. You better believe he's paying attention to that.
Especially,
and all these other teams interested in you, they paying attention to how you perform in not the best of situations.
Especially
how you react to that.
At a casino where they got cameras all over the place, right? Because the eye in the sky doesn't lie. So
does not lie. That's why, the Giants and the Raiders, that's who you're going to play. I mean, you should win those games, but I think if you're in New York or in Las Vegas, say, I think we can beat the Saints. You know, so it's one of those type of deals. But you're a better team than Las Vegas or the Giants at this stage. You got to take care of business.
I think Kendra Miller's career is on the line here. It's time for him to step up and show what he's got. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate your time. We'll be listening this evening as you second guess from the Silver Slipper. Starts at 4 o'clock. You can head on out there to the Bay St. Louis, join them if you want, or just listen here on WWR. We'll take a break, come back, talk to Jeff Palermo about those LSU Fighting Tigers. Acquitted themselves well against Oklahoma on Saturday night.